If you would turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23, I want to look at two verses here before I move on to my text. Just the first two verses of 2 Samuel 23. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. I want to begin this morning by showing you how, from these two verses and many other scripture, how David typifies, that means represents, the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I would have you notice by his name. The name David means beloved. Secondly, by his descent as the son of Jesse. God the Son came into the world to save sinners. He who was the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he is flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. Isaiah 11:10 says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Thirdly, we see him as a type of picture of Christ and his exaltation from a low estate to a higher one. Notice in verse 1 it says, the man who was raised up on high. From a little shepherd boy to the king of Israel, God blessed this man. Fourthly, by his appointment as the anointed of the God of Jacob. My, that pictures Christ. That's who Christ is, the anointed of God. Notice also in verse 1, it says, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Oh, the one who sings sweet words and songs of comfort to his people is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And sixthly, the messenger of God's salvation. He says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. But David pictures Christ in many other ways. So I want us to go back to the beginning. There are a couple of verses in the Bible before the one that I'll have you turn to that refers to him in the book concerning Ruth, and I think in one other passage. But David is brought upon the scenes of history beginning in 1 Samuel chapter 16. So if you would turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now let me say, while you're turning, most of us know the story of David. David kept and tended for his father's sheep, his father being Jesse. And we know that God loved him, and he was called the apple of God's eye. And there's no doubt that God was with him in all that he did. Now let me tell you, this morning is my intention once again today to proclaim to you the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves, keeps, protects his father's sheep. And that comparison, David pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has infinitely and eternally loved his beloved son, the apple of his all-seeing eye, and God was with him in all that he did. Acts 10:38, let me read this to you, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And it says these words, for God was with him. God was with him. By God's grace, this morning I want to give you somewhat, for lack of a better terminology, a running exposition of 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17. So look at verse 1, and I will move somewhat hurriedly. In verse 1 it says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Samuel being God's prophet, he said, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Israel wanted a king, and they wanted a king bad. And God was presiding himself as their king. And yet God wound up giving them what they wanted. And he said, fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided, notice this language, I have provided me a king among his sons. This wasn't the people's choice. This was God's choice. The Lord had told Samuel that he had rejected Saul, the reigning king of Israel, whom God had given the people after their own will and their desire. But Saul was not God's chosen. Friends, God only accepts those that He has chosen and ordained. So here we see that the prophet Samuel was sent to Bethlehem by God's appointment to anoint the king of God's choosing. Now in verses 2 and 3, Samuel was told to make a sacrifice and to call Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice, and the Lord would tell him what to do. Notice the last part of verse 3. It says, "And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." In verse 6, when the oldest son of Jesse was brought before Samuel the prophet, Samuel, I don't know if he said this out loud or just thought it in his heart, but he said, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed, for he was of great stature." But the Almighty told Samuel in verse 7, he said, "Oh, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord doesn't see as men see, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart." Oh, how I wish I could learn that great lesson. God looks upon the heart. I pray that God might give you who are yet without Christ a new heart that loves and serves Him. This is where God looks. This is where God looks upon the hearts of men and women. But our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, the Scripture says. Thank God that He tells His people in Ezekiel chapter 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart." God says, "I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." God looks upon the heart, and the heart that He gives is pleasing unto Him. Now in verses 8 through 10, and as I said, I won't read every verse, but make comment. In verse 8 through 10, all of Jesse's sons, he had 8 sons, 7 present this day, David tending his father's sheep. And all Jesse's sons passed before Samuel the prophet, and each time Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one." Now to those folks who do not believe in election, boy, they ought to read this chapter. The Lord has not chosen this one. Those that think that Christ died for everybody, the Lord has not chosen this one. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Oh, friends, we better get used to the idea that God chooses whom He will. He'll have mercy on whom He'll have mercy, and whom He will, He'll have compassion. That's the God of the Bible. And then in verse 11, Samuel asked Jesse, he said, "Are these all your children?" And Jesse said, "All but the youngest who keeps my sheep." He wasn't really even considered. He wasn't invited to the sacrifice. God told Samuel to tell Jesse to bring all his sons. But David's not present. So in verse 12, they send for David, and the Lord told Samuel to arise, anoint him. And notice the words, the language there. "For this is he." This is he. The one that you thought shouldn't even be invited to the sacrifice. This is he. Don't look any further, Samuel. When our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, and also when he stood on the mount, what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, God said, "This is my beloved Son." This is He. This is Him. "In whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him." This is He. This is He. And again, Samuel did as the Lord commanded. And in verse 13, the Scriptures say that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Matthew 3:16, speaking of the baptism of our Lord, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." This refers to God's Spirit lighting upon Christ, and it was with him from the beginning of time. "I proclaim to you who have ears to hear, look no further Look no further. This is he of whom the Scripture speaks, of whom the Old Testament prophesied. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is he, God's chosen, God's anointed. The Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This is he that was buried and that rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is he, the one mediator between God and man. This is he that came into the world to save sinners. And yet, while we were yet sinners, this is he that died for us. Oh, look no further. Now in verse 14, we're told that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. This was the people's king. This was the people's choice. This is who God gave them according to their own desire. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And notice the next line, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now friends, this proves that Satan and all his evil cohorts are under the rule of a sovereign God. Oh, if you don't believe that, you read Job 1 and 2, chapters 1 and 2 sometime. God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? He said, you've got a hedge about him. You won't let me afflict him. He said, you can take all he has, but you can't touch him. Who was in control there? Who put the restrictions upon Satan? Listen, Satan is a dog, no doubt, but he's God's dog and he's on God's chain. The Lord sent an evil spirit that troubled him. And in verses 15 through 19, Saul was advised by his servants to seek out a man who could play the harp to soothe him. And do you know who was recommended? Any idea? David, the son of Jesse. Our God works all things. Now listen, he works all things after the counsel of his own will, Ephesians 1:11. And in verses 19 and 20, Saul asked that Jesse send to him David, and Jesse sent him to Saul. And in verse 21, the Scriptures tell us, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and Saul loved him greatly. God gave him favor with Saul, and David became his arm bearer. Now, we find ourselves in chapter 17. And here's the picture I want to paint. You've got two mountains, one on this side and one on this side, with a valley in the middle. And we find Israel at war with the Philistines. The Philistines were on one mountain, and Israel was on the other mountain. As I said, there was a valley between them. And every day, a champion of the Philistines named Goliath went out into the valley. And this, according to the Scripture, says 6 cubits and a span tall. I read several people, and people had different estimations as to how tall that was, but the most consistent one I found was that he was 9 foot 6 inches tall. 9 foot 6 inches tall. And he came armed with a helmet of brass and a coat of armor that the Scriptures say weighed 5,000 shekels made of brass, roughly 200 pounds. 200 pounds of armor he carried with no effort at all. He wore bronze shin guards and he carried a bronze sword. His spear, I'm sure, looked like a fence rail. You ever seen those wrought iron fence rails? You know, I'm sure that's what his spear looked like. And the spear tip alone, according to the Scriptures, weighed over 15 pounds. My, I do good to pick up 15 pounds anymore. And just the tip of his spear weighed them. Oh, what am I trying to say? This was a big man. This was a mighty warrior. And Goliath stood there and he called out to the Israelite troops. And I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm not stretching the truth of Scripture at all. He says, why bother using your whole army? That's what he's saying. He said, Am I not Philistine enough for you? He said, you are committed to Saul. He's your king. You trust his judgment. So why don't you let Saul pick your best fighter and pit him against me? And if he kills me, the Philistines will all become your slaves. And if I get the upper hand and kill him, you'll all become our slaves and serve us. We can stop a lot of bloodshed here. Just send a man out to fight. I challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man and let us fight together. And in verse 11 of chapter 17, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And friends, so would have I. So would have I. When Saul and his troops heard the giant's challenge, they were terrified and they lost all hope. By nature, friends, we are all slaves to sin. Sin is that great giant who by nature we're all enslaved to, every single one of us. Born in sin. Born condemned, the scripture says. If this giant of sin can be defeated, then we can become sons and not slaves. Stand fast, Paul wrote in Galatians 5:1, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The defiance of Goliath, the giant, this went on for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights, and no man dared go up against him. During this time, David traveled back and forth from serving Saul and feeding his father's sheep. Finally, one day, as the giant, oh, what an opposing figure he must have been, when he was present and appeared in the valley, David was there, and the tormented army of Israel was there shaking in their boots, just cringing, just horrified, terrified. He said, David later asked, he said, why do your hearts melt? And David asked in verse 26, he said, can I ask you guys a question? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is he? And in verse 32, David says to Saul, he said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Don't let your heart melt. Don't be worried. Thy servant, me, a shepherd boy, will fight with this Philistine. Let me ask you, in between thoughts here, has your sin caused your heart to fail? Sin is a great giant. Perhaps your heart fails you because you're constantly fighting an inward war. Perhaps you fear because in yourself you see little change. You're in good company. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:23, we mentioned this in the Sunday school hour, he said, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, enslavement, bondage to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Who can deliver me from this body of death? There's only one. Only one. And he tells Saul, don't let your heart fail you. I'll go out and fight him. And the Lord Jesus Christ met the giant of sin head on, dear friends, for his people. And as we said last week, fear is a result of sin, and God has said, fear not. God didn't ask us to fear not. God commands us to fear not. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. Oh, that's why we don't fear. Fear not, dear ones, and call to mind that our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he hath anointed, is he that fights for you. We've seen that. Those that have come regularly to the Wednesday night services, we've been teaching through the book of Joshua. And that's the theme of that whole book. The Lord has fought for you. The Lord has delivered them into your hand. This day tomorrow, the Lord will give them unto you, and you shall take their land. Over and over again, we're reminded that it's the Lord that fights his people's battles. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And verse 14 of Hebrews 10 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So why should our hearts fail? Why should we be afraid? Now look at verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He said, you're nothing but a boy. And he is a man of war from his youth. Not counting the fact he's near 10 foot tall. Probably weighs 600 pounds, got 200 pounds of armor on. He's carrying a spear that's bigger than you. We look on the countenance of men, don't we? Not on the heart. Not on the heart. And unfortunately, this is the attitude that most professing believers have. And when I say professing, I'm being kind, because that professing is all they do. They don't prove themselves to be believers by their actions and by their faith. And they prove it by preaching this little boy Jesus, not the God man. This little boy Jesus, men and women by nature have no issues with the baby Jesus in a manger. Everybody loves the little Jesus, baby Jesus in the manger. Oh, look, it's the baby Jesus in the manger. But they hate, despise the Christ who rules all things by His sovereign will and purpose. Hate Him. Why? Because this religious world has a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And Paul said, from such turn away. Turn away from them. Don't listen to them. The believer confesses with the Apostle Paul, who said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Saul said, he's a man of war. You're just a boy. He's a man of war. He's a giant. Why, he'll destroy you. You're not able to fight against him. Now listen, the giant sin is too powerful an opponent for you and I. It is no match for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. Now let me say this. Faith in Christ, faith in God, doesn't have an age limit. It's for the young and old. Some are old before Christ is revealed to them. And sometimes it pleases the Lord to reveal to young men and women faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The real question is, do you have faith in Christ? Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust Him as David did? Yes, David was but a youth. But a boy, a young lad, but God had poured His Spirit out on him. Didn't we read that in chapter 16? Without measure, He poured His Spirit out on him. He said, from that day forward, and he believed God. Do you believe God? Then don't fear your giant. The message is titled, The Giant Killer. I should have told you that in the beginning. God had proved Himself to David over and over and over again. Look at verse 34. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, now listen to me, Saul, this is what I'm saying, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with you. Oh, how many times had God proved Himself to David? How many times has God proved Himself to you? Oh, may God give us this kind of faith. God's servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, keeps and takes care of His Father's sheep. We've already said that. God's people are referred to as sheep, and they have been sheep before time began. God doesn't take goats, as I said last week, and make them sheep. They're sheep. They're just not yet of the fold. They've wandered far from God's fold. There was a time when we were all in the clutches of Satan, who Scripture says, who is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But in the time of love, our great shepherd went out after our captor and delivered us, and slew he that had us in the clutches of his mouth. That's what he came to do. He came in the world to save sinners. I never grow tired of saying that. You say that a lot, brother. I don't say it enough. Christ came in the world to save sinners. and he saved sinners by putting away their sin. Sin rose up against our Lord, and it was sin that nailed him to the cross at Calvary, but it was his people's sin, not his. Don't mistake that. Sin put him on that tree, but it wasn't his sin. He knew no sin. At least it was your sin. It was my sin. All of you who trust in Christ, it was your sin. He died for all the sin of all the people, of all his people, throughout all time. Our loving Savior and substitute slew the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And David knew assuredly that this same God that delivered him out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear would deliver him from this giant. He knew it. He knew it. He had faith. He believed God. His faith and confidence was in God Almighty. Now let me ask you, is yours? Is yours? Is this of any interest to you? Being confident of this very thing, the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to hurry here, but I think every one of you know the rest of this story. I was told this story from a young child almost. Read Bible stories. Oh, I always loved the story of David and Goliath. I think a lot because his name was David. And in verse 43, this giant Goliath said to David when David went out to meet him. We skipped over a few things. Saul tried to put his armor on David, and my goodness, it just swallowed him up. He wasn't but a boy. Saul was said to be a big man. He said, I improved these, and I don't need them. I don't need your armor. I don't need your sword. And in verse 43, as I said, Goliath said, am I a dog? Yeah, you are. You're a Philistine dog, uncircumcised, worthless dog. But he said, am I a dog that you come out to me with a staff? And the scriptures say he cursed him by his gods. Now, that's little g gods. I'm going to tell you something, though. I am not worried about gods, little g gods. Not worried about them. Why? Because they don't exist. Why should I fear something that doesn't exist? And men can make a little g god out of anything. But I serve, believe, and trust the living God, the one whom this book proclaims, the one who has bore witness in my heart and given me his spirit. And his word tells me to fear not, for I am with thee. I am your God. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll be with you. Oh, what more do we need? What more do we need? And old Goliath, he said, you come and fight me with a stick? A piece of wood? Now listen, our great giant sin was defeated by God using a piece of wood called the cross. It was the means. There's no efficacy in the cross. It's the Christ who hung upon the cross that saves. But he said, you come with me, come to me with a piece of wood? Sure do. Sure do. And David said in verse 45, he turned it right around on him. He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield? But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel. You see, sin brings it every weapon it has, every device imaginable to make us its eternal slave. That was the point of Goliath's challenge. I defeat and kill your man, you're our slaves forever. And sin brings every weapon, every device. But the weapons of our warfare, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, aren't carnal. They're not fleshly or natural, but mighty through God. Mighty through God. And in verse 46, David says with confidence, the Lord deliver thee into my hand. My hand. You're mine, Goliath. You're mine. You see, friends, the hands that were pierced are the hands that saved us. The old hymn writer wrote, "Our God is able to deliver thee." He is able to deliver thee. Now, verse 47, "The Lord does not save with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give." Do you notice that? He will give. Never, ever forget that salvation is a free gift from God. John 3:16, "For God so loved His people in the world that He gave." It's a free gift. It can't be earned, merited, or deserved. His Son gave His life for us. Salvation is about the free gift of God in Christ. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That sounds like a gift to me. He made Him to be sin. He gave Him to be sin. And in 48, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose." Oh, God, can you picture this in your mind? Here's a little boy. I don't know how old he is, young lad. Compared to even his brothers, he was small. Wasn't even considered when Samuel the prophet came. And it came to pass when this Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to David to meet David. Now here's this big giant coming after you. You try to put yourself in his shoes. "That David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." He ran. Oh, for the joy that was set before him, he ran. Our Lord Jesus Christ, from His birth in a manger, hasted and ran toward our enemy for that joy that was set before Him. And He endured the cross, despising the shame, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. 49, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone, and he slung it. And he smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, but there was no sword in the hand of David." Now, friends, I think here the sling could very well represent God's servants. You see, God's servants proclaim, they project, in a sense, sling forth the stone, which is the rock of ages, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, whom we preach. Our message is simply this: Christ has prevailed. He has smitten the giant, and He says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Oh my. Look at 51. "Therefore David ran and stood." He's still running. "And he stood upon the Philistine, and he took his Goliath sword." He didn't have one. He didn't need one until now. And then he took his. "And he drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." Now, by the manifold wisdom of God, let me say this to you in closing. By the manifold wisdom of God, Christ defeated and He killed sin. And He killed sin with His own sword. You see, Satan and sin were defeated by convicting, condemning, and killing an innocent man. Satan thought, "Oh boy, I've got him." And it was the very thing that God used to save His people. He used His own sword on him. You see what I'm saying? And then when it says He cut off his head, what significance is that? Satan only bruised our Lord's heel, but our Lord Jesus Christ crushed his head. Isn't that what it says in Genesis, I believe, 3:15? "And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." Now listen, dear believer, sin is defeated, dead, and gone in Christ. Put away forever. Forever. But Satan will still accuse you. Don't you think he won't? You see, he's the father of all lies. "But you submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. And you resist the devil. And he will flee from you." He'll flee from you. What a picture David is of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that God give you eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to believe. And that he might make these words effectual to your heart and cause you to see that the victory has been won. The Lord said, it's finished. It's finished. It's done. It's over. Salvation is accomplished. Can you put your trust in him? Only if God enables you. That's what I'd be praying for. God, enable me to trust Christ, to cling to him, to hold on to him. Those that endure till the end, doing that will be saved.